Thomas Rhett for you. Slow down summer on WEIS. 43 degrees in center at 716. And we have in the studio with us this morning a special guest, and we're honored to have with us Summer Summerford, candidate for district attorney in the 9th Judicial Circuit. And good morning, Summer.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. We appreciate you coming in early this morning and talking with us and talking with the listeners about your candidacy for district attorney and what made you want to run for this political office.
Well, of course, I'm in my fifth year as a prosecutor now. I was in private practice for 8 years before that, but I always thought it was something I would like to do. When I was in law school, I was an extern at the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, which is a whole lot different than it is here.
I'm sure.
We're very blessed to live where we do, but they have a lot going on down there. And I was also a law clerk one summer in the Violent Crimes Division of the Attorney General's Office during law school. So I always have felt drawn to prosecuting, and since I've had the opportunity to be a prosecutor, I truly feel like it's my calling, and I feel like that's confirmed since I've been there. You know, it's often frustrating, and a lot of times it's sad, but it's very rewarding, and it's something that has to be done on behalf of the citizens of the circuit. And you know, I think about everybody's, you know, kids and grandkids. I think about our kids. We have a soon almost 14-year-old here in a couple of days, and then a 7-month-old little boy. And I think that I need to do everything I can to leave my community in a better place than I found it, because whatever we do, it directly impacts our kids and our grandkids, and we need to do everything we can to make things better for them.
Well, how are you mentioned the children, and I don't want to get off subject, but this is on the subject. How are you going to be able to balance your professional career, serve the people of the circuit, and take care of the children and everything that you have to do as a mom and as a wife?
Right. Well, you know, it's something that we have a very good support system. We have a good, I've been calling them my village. You know, I've said that, you know, you've always heard that raising children, it takes a village. And I think that's true. It's the same with the campaign. You can't do that by yourself. It takes a village to have a 2-county campaign also. And we have a great village. We have great friends and family that pitch in and help. And so, you know, that's something we wondered about, having a newborn. How exactly are we going to work this out? But as it turns out, we have a very long list of people who really want to help and are upset that they haven't gotten to take a turn yet. So, it's going to work out. We've got friends and family that help, and, you know, God makes a way if it's what's supposed to happen.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned a 2-county system in the 9th Judicial Circuit. You're not only running in Cherokee County and campaigning here, but you also are campaigning in DeKalb as well as fulfilling your duties as a prosecutor in the 9th Judicial Circuit.
That's right. The 9th Circuit's made up of DeKalb and Cherokee counties. So some people don't necessarily realize that, but the district attorney's office has 2 offices, one here in center at the courthouse, and then there's also an office in the Fort Payne courthouse as well. So we have staff in each of those offices that stay there, but then the prosecutors go back and forth between the courthouses. So I already do that. It is a 2-county campaign, and you don't think that's a whole lot of territory until you try it. So, Rock Run to Ider is a long way, let me just tell you.
Yeah, it is, no doubt about it. And now let's talk a little bit about the duties of the district attorney. We know that the district attorney is over the prosecutorial system of the justice system for our area, but what all does that entail other than just bringing cases to court?
Well, of course, it is bringing cases to court. You know, I tell people that law enforcement, you know, makes arrests and they do investigations, and then at some point they have to turn that over to somebody to finish it out in court, and that's what we do. So we handle all felonies that occur within the circuit by whatever agency, both sheriff's offices in the circuit, police departments, if there are any state state task force or state offices or agencies that make arrests or do investigations, we handle those as well. We also handle the vast majority of the, I would say, the misdemeanors and traffic violations that happen in the circuit. The only ones that we don't handle are those that happen within a city or town that has a municipal court, and they handle those. We also do child support enforcement on behalf of DHR. And, of course, we also handle juvenile court, which people a lot of times don't realize or hear about because, obviously, juvenile court is confidential and that's not something we talk about. And one of the big things that the district attorney's office is tasked with is organizing and presenting cases to the grand jury. Typically, in each county, we have 4 sessions of grand jury during the course of a year, and that's, of course, if somebody has been arrested, a warrantless arrest or a warrant was obtained, or just an investigation has happened and need to know if there's probable cause. All of those cases get presented to the grand jury for the grand jury to consider and to discuss in private among themselves and to vote on in private among themselves to decide if a case is true billed, which means it's indicted, or if it's no billed, which means they don't think there's probable cause for a case to move on to the circuit court for trial. So we are tasked with organizing that, getting grand jurors there, getting law enforcement lined up, getting other witnesses lined up to present those cases. Which we, there for about a year because of COVID, like everything, it really interfered with that. So we really had probably about a year that we didn't get to have grand jury because we couldn't put 18 or 20 people together right on top of each other in a room together. You know, just that's not something that we could do. But I will say that here in Cherokee County that we have caught up on that backlog. So we've pretty much taking care of the COVID backlog. And in DeKalb County, if we haven't called up, we're really close. So the judges, the DA's office, the clerk's offices, everybody has worked really hard to catch up on that backlog over the last year and a half.
We all know that you're involved with the criminal cases, but how involved is the district attorney in civil cases?
So generally, we are not involved in civil cases. Technically, child support cases are civil cases.
Right.
And then sometimes we handle things on behalf of law enforcement, civil asset forfeiture, if drugs were being transported in a vehicle, for sale or something, they may seize the vehicle, and that's a civil action that we handle. But other than that, we stay in the criminal side of things. We are tasked with. A little bit off topic of what you just asked, but the DA's office is involved with law enforcement in many ways, and it's not just the court part.
Right.
It's very common to get phone calls during the day and night. From law enforcement, be it a patrol deputy or, an investigator, whoever, calling and saying, hey, here's a situation, legally, what's your opinion on, do we have a charge? If so, what types? And it's very common, especially for investigators, to call and to discuss cases and just see if we have any suggestions. Not that, they know what they're doing, but they're looking at probable cause to make an arrest, and we're looking down the road to, if we have a jury trial, what might we need? And sometimes if you don't get it right then, you can't get it later. So by working together, the prosecutors and law enforcement make cases better. So it's good to have a good working relationship with law enforcement, and I do in both counties. Talk with them a whole lot about stuff that's going on, and basically work together to make the cases as good as possible for the people of the circuit.
Now, Summer, as we know that your family life a little bit different in being, if you're elected as district attorney, Your husband is also chief deputy in Cherokee County. Will there be any time that there could be a conflict of interest? Or I'm sure that you've already had this question asked to you, but explain that to us.
Well, so he and I are on the same team is okay. how I describe it. You know, the goals are the same. If you think about it as a football team, he and I play different positions, but we play for the same team with the goal of winning at the end. So we're on the same team, so that is not a conflict of interest. Now, if we were on opposite sides, that would be a conflict of interest. But we are on the same side, working for the same goals. You know, as I talked about earlier, working with law enforcement, you know, I tell people I have a unique perspective because of my husband, Josh, right. Because, you know, we've during the course of our marriage, of course, he was not chief deputy when we first got married, but I tell people I understand a little bit about what law enforcement and their families have to deal with, because, you know, there have been those times when the call comes in and, you know, I get left somewhere with the kind of a, hey, catch a ride, I gotta go. And I know he's off to answer a call somewhere for something, and I'll see him sometime, and I don't know when. So I know a little bit about what law enforcement has to deal with these days, you know, just on a day-to-day level. I get to see it from a different perspective, and also get to see what the families of law enforcement have to deal with. And, you know, that's not something that I forget when I'm dealing with law enforcement or dealing with their cases in court. You know, I'm very respectful of what they do and the time and the effort and the peril they put themselves, you know, that they're in just because they're answering the call. So I appreciate them and what they do, and I appreciate their families because it is a sacrifice. It's a calling. People in law enforcement aren't there, you know, for the money. Definitely. They're there because they think that's where they're supposed to be and where they can do the most good.
Now, if you're elected, how are you going to balance those calls at night, in the middle of the night? And I know that you have to have a phone with you at all times. I know I've been with District Attorney Odell at meetings and things like that, and his phone can, you know, rings occasionally, and he'll have to excuse himself and go take it because it's just that important, just what you've talked about.
Yes, well, I mean, it's one of those things that if you are at all able to answer the phone, you answer the phone, and if not, you call back as soon as you can. You know, there are, in addition to Mr. Odell, there are four other prosecutors, four other attorneys in the office right now, myself and three others. And so law enforcement kind of knows, they kind of sometimes work down the list a little bit. They call somebody, if they don't get them, they think, well, you know, they're busy, they're in court, they're asleep, whatever, and they kind of move down the list. So they have our phone numbers, so they can call any and all of us if they need to. But we all always have our phones with us, and if at all possible, we answer them. That's just part of it. It's not a 9-to-5 type job. Just during, you know, crime doesn't happen just during working hours Monday through Friday.
As the head of the district attorney's office, being the district attorney, how much time would be spent for you in court? How much time would be supervision for you supervising those deputy district attorneys?
Well, you know, I've told people I'm not running for, I'm not looking for a desk job. You know, I intend to still remain in court. Obviously, there will have to be, you know, there's other duties that come with the job, and those will have to be satisfied. But, you know, the hope is that once we get the office kind of set up, because it's going to be a big change, you know. Mr. Odell's retiring. We have one other that's retiring. We're actually down one person as it is. Most of your listeners know Scott Lloyd. He retired about a year and a half ago, and we really didn't bring anybody in when he left. So the hope is to hopefully bring in three new prosecutors to help manage things, balance things, and get everything set up and working well, and I intend on remaining in court in both counties, and also handling major cases.
Something that in both counties has been a topic of discussion around coffee shops and things like this is when you have a case, and quite often some of them can be graphic and be horrific, because that's the type thing that we deal with a lot of times in criminal cases especially. What will be your position on plea deals versus carrying it to court for a jury trial? I know there's been a lot of discussions both ways.
Well, let me say too, I love court and I love trials. If I didn't, I would have no business being with what I'm doing. And I don't believe in, reaching an agreement for somebody to plead guilty just to not have a trial. That's what we're there for, is to have trials. And I would expect my staff to follow that as well. That being said, especially if we're talking about, violent crimes involving children, that's a team approach. A team approach needs to be included in that. So the majority of child victims have been seen by the Children's Advocacy Center, and the majority of them continue to have therapy through the CAC. So as the case progresses through the system, through grand jury, being set on dockets, motion hearings, all the things you have to go to before you get to trial, the hope is that with counseling, the child will be in the best position possible to testify should there be a trial. Because a lot of people don't realize, especially if there's a child victim or a child witness, the child has to testify. There for a long time, we were able to use their forensic interviews that were recorded in court, or the child could testify in the judge's chambers. Well, that was challenged and went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and they found that that violated the Confrontation Clause of the United States Constitution, and that the child does have to take the witness stand and testify. So when we get to that point, we sit down and we talk to the guardian or parent of the child. We talk to the therapist, talk to the case agent, law enforcement, and the child themselves. And then a team approach has to go into making a decision. Can we proceed? And is that something we think can happen? We had a child testify back in the fall in the case and did a fabulous job, and there was a conviction, and I can't remember what the sentence was, but it's like 280 something years. It was very successful. And then at the same time, we have children who can't do that. Sure. We have children who can't even talk to us about it. So for us to expect them to go in the courtroom and sit on the witness stand in front of the person who did whatever horrible thing it was that was done to them and a bunch of strangers, sometimes that may be worse for the child. So those are really hard decisions. It takes a lot of prayer and it takes a lot of conversation. But my vision is that the team decides what we do with that case at that point.
Okay. Any other things? Now, I know we could sit here the rest of the day and talk about these situations and the things that comes up in the district attorney's office, because there's so many and so complex a lot of times, especially when you're dealing with two counties. Anything else that you want to leave with the listeners, why they should vote for you versus voting for your opponent?
Well, I would just say that, I'm the child of educators. I'm a big fan of education. I think it gives us a great foundation. But I think experience is the best teacher. And that's something that I have. I've been in the courtroom. I've been prosecuting cases. I've been answering the phone calls in the night from law enforcement. I've been presenting to the grand jury. I've been in jury trials. I've been representing the people of the circuit. If something terrible happens, if the worst thing imaginable happens to you or to your loved one, law enforcement can do everything perfectly. They can do it by the book. They can let it, all pieces fall in place. They can dot their I's, cross their T's, and tie a bow around it. But at some point, they have to hand that over to somebody. And would you want them to hand that over to somebody who's never done it? I wouldn't. I'd want it handed to somebody who's been there before, who made the decision years ago to be there and had already been putting in the work to learn and to be there and to be able to handle that. You know, I've stood with law enforcement. I've fought for victims in the courtroom. I've prosecuted dangerous criminals and I've sent them to prison. And I'm the only candidate in this race that's done any of those things. So I'd just like to remind everybody the primary is May 24th. I'm running on the Republican ballot and there's nobody on the other ballot. So May 24th will decide who the next district attorney is. So I would ask for everybody's support and I'd ask for their vote. And please remember to go vote.
All right. Summer, thank you so very much for coming in and being with us today. And it's been a pleasure to have you. And I hope we've covered everything as you wanted.
We've covered a lot. So,
we have, yeah. Indeed. That's for sure. Thank you so very much. I hope you have a good day. And give Mr. O'Dell our regards. And I know you'll be seeing him. And it's always a pleasure to work with the district attorney's office. And the jobs that we both have to do. So thank you so very much.
And thank you, Jerry.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Summerford, district attorney candidate for the 9th Judicial Circuit for DeKalb and Cherokee counties. And remember that the primary is on May 24th.